The following sermon was presented at the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to find out whether these teachings are true and accurate. If you have any questions or concerns, you can find our contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. And now to the sermon.
We had a lady recently that fell and broke her hip Sunday morning before service. And her son-in-law told me, he said, she was more concerned about missing services than she was her broken hip. It's easy to love elderly people like that. She's almost 90. And it's just easy to love people who don't feel like being here, who are willing to make the trip and be here. And I told a woman one time that she was on oxygen and very feeble. I said, I appreciate you being here. And she said, Joel, I feel as good here as I do at home. And when she passed away, I had to go to the sale and buy me a couple of cups so that I would be reminded of people who are faithful like that. And I appreciate that. Today, I want to spend the time in talking to members of the church, that sometimes we forget what we have and are not as grateful as we need to be for what we have. To the child of God, every day is a day of thanksgiving. We should thank God for every day that we have. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we need to understand that. And it's not one of those prerogatives that we have. It is a command of God that we be grateful. In Colossians 2 and verse 7, he said, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. We're commanded to be grateful, to be thankful. The idea is as you grow more, and as you grow in thanksgiving. The idea being filled with thanks toward our God. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Think about it. As we have peace in our heart with God, and I be peace in the world, but peace between us and our God, we learn to be grateful. In Colossians 2 and verse 4 again, he said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, he said, giving thanks always for all things. Now, wait a minute. Giving thanks for all things. Now, how can you be grateful for difficulties? We learn from hard times more than we learn from good times. And so whatever comes our way, we learn to be grateful. I said to a young man that was taking care of an invalid daughter of his, I said, every time I see you, you're taking care of that daughter. He said, my wife takes care of her most of the time. He said, but I want to do my part. And this is probably good for me because I have to be careful. I have too much pride. He's learning something from hard times. And we all can learn from hard times if we're but willing to learn. Be thankful in all things. Whatever comes your way, God knows best. What can I learn from this? What can I get out of this? Is the idea that we ought to have, and we have so much to be grateful for. As we look at it, how can I learn to be grateful? That's the question. We need to learn to never forget. It's so easy to forget. There was a lady in the nursing home across the hall from my father-in-law. And she was the sweetest thing, and she would often talk to me, and I never saw anybody come to visit her. Don't forget your parents. Don't forget your grandparents. We learn so much when we think about what happened. Joseph told the butler and the baker what was going to happen and interpreted dreams, and the butler was released. And Joseph said, "Remember me." 2 full years went by and he didn't say anything. And he said, "This day do I remember my fault. I have forgotten Joseph that was in prison with me, that interpreted the dream that I had. I have forgotten him." Remember never to forget. We learn again in Luke 17 when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And he said, "Where are the 9? I wonder what excuse they had. If Jesus said, "Why didn't you come back to me?" I believe that everyone would have had a different excuse. Remember what people do for you. Grover Stevens came to our house and he held a meeting, and Mom had him there for a meal. And I said, "Mom," I said, "you shouldn't have done this." I said, "My daddy drank and he cursed," and I said, "No telling what daddy's going to say to him or how he's going to act." That night he talked me into going to Florida College. And 2 young men there took me under their wings and encouraged me. But before Grover died, I had the opportunity to explain to him what he meant to me. I would have hurt had I never had the opportunity to tell him what that night meant to me and what a change it's made in my life. Don't forget. Somebody's done something for you. Don't forget what they have done for you. The people of Jabesh-Gilead tried to make peace with Nahash the Ammonite. And when they did, he said, "Okay, I'll make peace with you, and if you'll let me pluck out the right eye of all the men and all the women." And the people of Jabesh-Gilead sent word to Samuel and Saul. And they gathered together and delivered the people of Jabesh-Gilead from Nahash. They never forgot that. When Saul died, the valiant men traveled all night and went and stole his body from the wall bodies of he and his sons as they were hanging on the wall, and brought them home, burned their bodies, and buried their bones. They said, "Look, we've got right eyes today because of Samuel and Saul." They never forgot it. And when David became king, he remembered that. And he blessed them for not forgetting. Saul became a bad man in the latter part of his life. Didn't matter to them, he gave us our right eye. Remember to never forget what people have done for you. And don't forget your parents. Don't forget your grandparents. It's the saddest thing. And don't forget the Lord. It bothers me to see so many people who are members, have been members of the church, who have forgotten the Lord, turned their back, walked away, having a good time, and don't remember what God did for them when he let his son die upon the cross. Friends, whatever you do, don't ever forget what God has done for you. I'd say the second thing in being grateful is don't major in your troubles. You know, many of us have difficulties, and all of us will have. If they haven't come to you now, wait. They're going to come. But don't major in them. My wife had a grandmother. She was in bed and couldn't walk. And when you go to see her, you say, "Grandma, how you doing?" She said, "I'm doing fine, but I can't walk." In a pleasant tone of voice. Troubles are going to come. You have pains and aches. Someone said tonight to one of the young kids, said, "I wish I had that energy." I said, "It'd blow your body up if you did." And that's right. Don't major in your troubles. Others have troubles as well. And you need to mention them when you talk about them. That's not bad. But if that's all you can talk about, that becomes bad. Fanny Cosby was a blind woman, been blind all of her life. She wrote a song, "A Wonderful Savior." The preacher said to her, "I feel sorry for you that you can't see." She said, "Don't feel sorry for me. The first thing I'm going to see is my Jesus." What an attitude. And that's the attitude that we all need to have. I never go to the Florence, Alabama area to hold a meeting that somebody doesn't take me by Helen Keller's place. Hospital then is named after her. She didn't major in her troubles. Lady came down to train her from New York, and the parents felt that the lady was being a little difficult or hard on her. She moved Helen Keller out of the house into another house, and she became what she became. She didn't major in her troubles. She did what she could, and what an impression she left on life. Paul in prison, writing a prison letter, said, "I've learned to be content whatever state I'm in." I sometimes misapply that, and I tell people up in Kentucky, it'd be hard for me to be content in this state. But that wasn't what he's talking about. Wherever you are, learn contentment. And he wrote in that same letter, "Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice." Be content. That's part of our thanksgiving, how good God has been to us. And to be American, but most of all to be a Christian, a child of God, to have our sins forgiven, how grateful we ought to be, and not major in our problems. In fact, brother wrote in 1938 in the Gospel Advocate magazine, he said, "The church that God created is perfect." He said, "It's the human side that's not perfect." And I thought that's exactly right. And we need not complain. Everybody's struggling to get to heaven. And so we need to remember that. I think we need to think about what we have rather than what we don't have. It's so easy to look at others and say, "I don't have that." A number of years ago, I gathered up these facts, and they may be a little bit outdated now, but I made mention of PTA one time where I taught. And in the projects, and I said to the parents that if you're living in the projects and you're living on welfare, you're better off than half the people in the world. What have you got to complain about? I thought maybe somebody would give me a hard time, but they never said an unkind word to me. And that's true. You're better off than half of the people in the world. How blessed we've been to live in this country. If you want to live like most people live in other countries, you take all the furniture out of the house except one table and one chair and two old blankets. You'd have one suit between the husband and the wife, just one. An old dress, an old blouse, one shirt, and only one pair of shoes. I remember that we didn't get shoes till school opened. Went barefooted all summer long. You'd have 3 molded potatoes, 2.5 pounds of flour, 1/2 pound of sugar, a little bit of salt, 2 onions, and a few dried beans. Now you open your food pantry and it just lined up and you say, what's there to eat? You think about the people in the world that have nothing. And then take away the bathroom. Take away the electrical wiring in the house and live in a tool shed. No hospital. There might be a clinic 15 miles away and you'd have to walk there. And take 25 years off of your lifespan. Many of us would already be dead. How blessed we are. And how grateful we ought to be of the many things that we have. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Oh, how we've been blessed. And we fail to recognize how good we really have it. And sometimes we miss it. Again, in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. When you get something, you want something a little bit bigger. Have you noticed that all the pickup trucks are getting bigger all the time? I've got a little 91 S10. And it's about the size that I like. They don't make them that size anymore. They keep making them bigger and bigger and bigger to make us covet something bigger. And that's what happens to us. And be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What do we have? God said he'd never leave us. He promised the child of God that he'd never forsake us. How more blessed can you be than that? He told Moses when he sent him to Pharaoh, I'll be with you. So many times in sending the prophets out, he said, don't let them by. I will be with you. God has said to every Christian, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. What a treasure we have. How rich we are as Christians. And sometimes I'm afraid that we don't recognize what really is going on. The Bible. Do you read it every day? Now, I know that some of you may have trouble seeing, but that's no excuse. You can get tapes, you can get CDs. We're so blessed. Do you understand what people have done to get you the Bible? When Martin Luther asked them to discuss those things that he nailed to the church doors, as a Catholic. And they refused to listen to him. And answer him. And they pronounced the death sentence, you might say, upon him. A friend of his kidnapped him and carried him to a mansion and hid him out. And he, with the help of two friends, translated from Latin into German the New Testament, I believe in 13 weeks. The Mass in Germany at that time was done in Latin. Some of the priests memorized some of the statements and they just repeat them. The people in Germany did not have the New Testament at that time. I don't agree with Martin Luther, but I owe him a great deal. And there are other people you can study that went into countries where they didn't have an alphabet. And they would learn their language and then set an alphabet up for it, so they could teach them the Word of God. How many Bibles do you have in your house? Do we take it for granted? Are we grateful that I've got a Bible? Justin said, I've got a Bible bag. That's the way it ought to be. A Bible bag. He can show it to you. You got a Bible in there and some paper in there as well. How grateful are we that we've got the Bible? How grateful are you that you can read? My daddy couldn't read. From the time I was a little boy, I'd write the checks and he'd sign his name. That was about it. See, we take so much for granted. Think some teacher somewhere that taught you to read. You owe so much to so many people. God's Son. We reap the blessings that He went to the cross and died for us. That horrible event. The saddest day and the gladdest day. On the first day of the week, when the angel said, why seek the living among the dead? Oh, we owe God so much. God has done so much for us. And how grateful we ought to be. The great promises that God has made for us. There's a place where there be no dying, no shedding of tears, no death. That'd be wonderful. Think of all the loved ones that you've had to give up. Won't be in a separation anymore. We'll be with God, we'll be with His children, we'll be there forever. The Lord's church. Jesus purchased the church with His blood. If the church is not important, then His blood wasn't important. Do you understand that? How important the church really is? All people in the world talk about the blood of Christ, the blood, but they don't recognize Jesus prized the church more than it is His own blood. He gave His blood for you and I to be here tonight and be members of His body. How grateful are we that He died, and that we have a church, the hope of heaven. Though their sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God is willing to forgive us. My daddy became a Christian when he was 62. He died at 94. And during those good years, he said, son, are you sure that God will forgive me of all the things that I've done? I said, Dad, you've got everything that I've got. He said He would, and that's all we've got. Trust God. He said He'd forgive us. Isn't that wonderful? Jeremiah talked about that. He said, I'll forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. How grateful are we that we've been forgiven? Ah, we were sinners, but we've been forgiven. How grateful we ought to be. Have the family of God. God is our Father, Christ our elder brother. Love the brethren. Love the brethren. We're all different. We all got our problems. We all got our little things that may upset somebody, but love the brethren. Love one another. We need to learn that. And we need to understand that Jesus did what His Father wanted Him to do. And we need to learn to do what He has asked us to do. Another thing that we need to think about is, do you know how bad it is? You know, we think about adultery and we think about fornication and we talk about those things as being bad. But do you realize how bad it is when you're not grateful to God? I want you to notice as we begin reading in Romans 1 and verse 21. Listen to it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Now what happens when people keep taking blessings and not grateful for it? Watch it. But became vain in their imagination. How do you do that? Isaiah 55:8-9, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We need to learn God's ways. We need to learn God's thoughts. Now watch him. He said, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what happens when we are not grateful. Now watch him. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now if God calls a person a fool, he's a fool. Now watch him. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. The images in the Old Testament. They would bow down to those images. Why? Because they never told them to do anything that was wrong. They never told them they couldn't do anything. It's like going to a denomination. Old boy was a member of the Episcopalian Church, and he went to the preacher, a woman preacher, and asked a question. She said, now let's get it straight. It's not about God, it's about us. That's denomination. Do what you want to do. It's about, I'm supposed to be happy. The child of God is happy doing what God, who made him, wants him to do. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, and dishonored their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now what happens when you're not grateful? What happens when you don't express thanks to Almighty God? For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's against nature. Women with women. Is that where we are today? What's happened? We forgot God. We forgot to praise God for His goodness and be grateful for what God has done for us. And we need to remember that. Ingratitude is terrible. Terrible. In 2 Timothy 3, we'll just notice one of the sections there. disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Think about it. Three things. Disobedient to parents, grateful, unholy. It seems to go together. Has that happened to our society? Lord in heaven, don't let it happen to the church. Don't let your people, Lord, forget you and to be grateful and thankful, to have a place to worship, to have people they can worship with. How gratitude expresses and makes us what we are. No boy who was an alcoholic. He was at Florida College when I was there, and he became an alcoholic later, and then was to treatment Cumberland Heights there in Nashville, and then had his own treatment center. And we studied this lesson one night, and he looked me in the eye. He said, "Joel, you can't be grateful and be hateful. Are you hateful? If you are, you're not grateful." I've thought a lot about that. That's a number of years ago. He's been dead a good while. You can't be grateful and be hateful. If you're grateful, it changes your whole disposition. Isaiah 1 and verse 3, Isaiah speaking for God, he said, "The ox knoweth his owner." Have you ever watched an owner walk out in the field, and the cows or horses, whatever, they come to the owner? "And the donkey his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." The people that I brought out of Egypt and worked with them, they have forgotten me. And they're going to pay the price. They're going into captivity. Whatever you do, don't forget God and what God has done for you. The next one I'd like to say to you is learn to express it. Don't have something in your heart and not express it. I hear something good said about somebody. I go immediately and tell them what somebody said about them. I told the funeral director, "I don't like funerals." He said, "Why?" I said, "People come to see them that we didn't come to see them when they were sick. People come and say all these good things about them and didn't tell them when they were living. Spend all this money for flowers and they can't smell any of them. If you're going to say something to somebody, give people flowers while they're living. Tell them what they meant to you and what they mean to you now. Express it." Psalms 107 verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Express it to God. Not enough to have it. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things." We read that earlier. Express your gratitude. I told a man in his 90s, he'd done a lot for me. I said, "I love you." He said, "Wait a minute, don't get mushy." He said, "My parents never told me they loved me. Nobody in my family ever said, 'I love you.'" He said, "We knew it, but they never expressed it." Express it. If you have a unique love for somebody, tell them. Tell them that you appreciate their faithfulness coming into this building, their faithfulness in reading the Bible, their faithfulness in leading the singing. Whatever it is, express it. And don't let it go from there. Do what needs to be done. I'll not deal with the fact that sometimes I don't know when to stop.
But if the world were a global people of just 100 people, you know that only about 10 to 20 of them could actually read? Think about it. You can read singing songs together. You can read the Bible. How grateful are we? Count your blessings. Someone said, well, I can't count my blessings. I can't count the stars either, but I'm trying. I may not know all my blessings, but I can count the ones that I know. God's people need to learn to be grateful. You know how many people throughout this country would give anything in the world to meet tonight with a group of people this large? I started a church in North Carolina, and bless her heart, I led the singing. Only Linda knows how bad that would be. Had to take care of the Lord's Supper. Everybody there had just come out of denominationalism. And they were so grateful to learn the truth. Do we appreciate what we have? Are you really grateful for every brother and every sister you? Do you let them know? But most of all, the way you express your thanks is to God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what, should have everlasting life. All the evidence that God has given, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? When you believe that He's the Son of God, and probably tomorrow night we'll deal with that, it changes your life. And then you repent of your sins. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at the mouth. He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You've got to be a child of God. You don't live as you are. You don't come as you are. You've got to change your life. And then you make that great confession. And you ought to want to scream it out. I believe that Jesus is the living Son of God. And then when you do that, you do what Jesus asked you to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You're buried with Him. You're raised up to be a new creature in a new family. All your past sins forgiven. Are we as grateful as we ought to be? Preachers nowadays are busy putting out fires rather than converting people. Keeping brethren together is just a struggle nowadays. It's because we're not grateful. May you leave here tonight and count your blessings. Get on your knees and pray to your God how good He's been to you. To live in this country, be a member of His church, His family. If you're not a member of the Lord's family, you need to do that now while together we stand and sing.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.